This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
So this morning is the fourth and final day of the convention. And I say fourth because the first day is just kind of a starter day, but it's still a first day. And a lot of people come in early. I missed that one, but you got the full report on that. But we're going to be covering some of that stuff in hindsight today with my color reporter, Mr. Mark D'Souza. Hey there, Mark.
Good morning, Scotty.
People always ask about, when are you going to have Mark back on over here? I wish we went to more conventions together. He's one of my best friends, and he and I think cover a lot of conventions, and you get a lot of insight as to who did what and everything. And this is Mike Brager's first time with the convention, and so hello there, Mike.
Well, hi, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. You enjoying your first convention?
Yeah, this is awesome. This is everything that you said this was going to be.
Yeah.
So everybody listen to the past episodes with Scott and Mark. And this is everything that they said it was going to be.
Mike is, as I said, his first time. And as we were talking yesterday with Glenn Brown, you have to have, in order to attend, you have to have recommendations from some people who have attended in the past. And actually, Mark and I were your sponsors for this. So we're so glad you did. And
he's picking up a tab for breakfast.
That's right. You owe us.
Hold on a second.
Which right now we are at Campfire Grill, and but I want to go through a little bit. Last night was an amazing show with the Korean show that was hosted by Charming Choi. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about some of the things that stood out over here.
So this year, unusual year, and this was something that was decided by Obi before he passed. This year, we actually had three guests of honor. We had Christian Schenck, we had Jimmy Cieslinski, and Charming Choi from Korea.
He really is charming.
He is charming. And Charming Choi had the unfortunate misfortune of losing his passport. And so he had to spend 17 hours driving to New York City to the...
Couldn't fly. He had to drive.
He had to drive to New York consulate. To the Korean consulate in New York, get a temporary passport, and drive back. And there was a guy here named Tom who did the yeoman effort of driving him there, but 17 hours. So he missed, a full day of the convention. It was really...
Tom Phelps should actually be deserving of the VIP this year.
MVP. MVP. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we led off with the tribute to Christian Schenck. We did a guest of honor each night.
Yeah.
So Christian was the first night on Wednesday. And then Chris did a lecture, which was talking about the development of a number of his products, but it wasn't just a dealer demo. In fact, he never told you the price or anything. This is what we developed. This is how we developed. This is what we thought about. So it was a very interesting lecture. He was followed by the first show, led off with Daly. Daly is like a superstar in China, television guy. Wonderful performer, really smooth, makes a great appearance, and he did a... did a wonderful mental routine with a slate and an impossible number, a double impossible number prediction. Followed by Christian Grace from the UK. Christian, very, very creative young man, has recently, he's got an online thing that he does where he teaches stuff, but he also released a fabulous app that took everybody by storm last year. So good that this year he did a seminar on it for everybody who would purchase this app.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. And he's got some new stuff that's going to be coming out then as well. He just can't stop creating. And they're amazing things. Yeah. Christian is just quite creative.
Unbelievable. And this is the thing we're talking about is Enigma. And boy, if you do mentalism, this is he did it to me last year, one-on-one. I just had no freaking clue. I was just floored by this thing. Anyway, he was followed by my buddy Jeff Eline from Baltimore. Not only a great magician, great musician, plays guitar. Jeff did a multi-phase routine that was really funny because he was trying to do a trick and it screwed up. And at the end, everything worked. And he played it so well. I mean, the magician in trouble, it's a fine line. He had it perfect for this group. Followed by Alex Hilshey. Alex was primarily a street worker, but now she's doing a lot of indoor work. Does gorgeous. She did the Silent Moor of Vernon Spin Wand Vanish sort of thing, but to absolute perfection. And then she did Reed McClintock's version of Ramsey's Coins of the Hat. beautiful, beautiful thing, and one wonderful performer, followed by Chris Pillsworth. Chris did a balloon prediction, and to tell you that is doing it a disservice. This was the trick that every magician wanted to put in their act after they saw it. And it's something simple, direct. I knew the one part of it, but the second part he showed me, and he's going to be putting it out. If you see this advertised, Chris Pillsworth's balloon prediction, this is a great trick for anybody to add their act. It's a beauty. Followed by Jimmy Ichihana, great card guy, been on Penn and Teller, just, you know, wonderful personality and just a great card handler. Followed by Jeff Christensen, who is the first person I've seen who has gotten the entire audience to sing along. It was a very funny thing, with a couple on stage and making words out of letters and it's one of those things you had to be there. You had
always
to be
hate
there.
To say that, but
yeah. And in fact, I was going to do a callback to it in my performance. And I was going to say, you know, Jeff Christensen got everybody to sing along for me tonight. I think we're going to do a group interpretive dance.
Leotards will be available in the back of the room.
Tutus will be available in the rear. In our case, some of the guys with me, 3-3s.
That reminds me of that one time that I saw Michael Weber and some others in tutus. Remember that?
The Swan Lake straitjacket escape.
That was it.
It's a great routine. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Randy Pryor. It was Michael Weber and Randy Pryor at a PCAM convention. Very funny. Show was closed by Oscar Munoz. Oscar, former guest of honor. Unfortunately, Oscar had done three weeks of back-to-back-to-back-to-back shows and literally lost his voice. So he couldn't do the great accent that he normally does. He had to drop to a lower register, but he did his rope routine, and it's just absolute perfection.
Yeah.
Perfection.
Yeah.
So, hospitality. Oh, and the MC was Keith Fields. One of the best. One of the absolute best. He has just become so good at the MC job. But he did a very funny running gag that's a borrowed bill routine.
He was talking about that, which was like a Rube Goldberg thing, and there were pieces of that, and then it all came together at the last.
With five people on stage at the end of the thing. And this is the third time I've seen him do it. Every time I see it, it gets better.
Yeah,
It's just phenomenal. I've actually booked Keith and Sarah for MAS this year, so I'm going to make certain that he does that.
So that was Thursday morning, right?
So that was Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
So going to Thursday, of course, hospitality suite after that, you know,
coffee
and sodas and hanging out. And then Alain Iannone had a small group for the Italian suite. So thank God he did, because by the time I got there last night, everything was gone.
I had was just some cheese after midnight last night. He was all of limoncello and nothing.
Yeah. And he did this year. He did, I think, five different liqueurs. It was great. Wow. He had regular limoncello, crema, mirto. He did a mandarin orange, and he did a cream of mandarin orange.
Wow.
Very nice. Like your listeners really care about that, but
I do. Well, it's also the side thing is book club and food is right. What we talk about, books and food.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like donuts and stuff.
And TV shows, TV series.
And movies.
Yeah, yeah. So Thursday
like
morning.
Breaking Bad. Remember that we had one that had a Breaking Bad episode that it was before the very last episode. I mean, I talked to Alon New and so many people who were big time into this and trying to guess what the final episode was going to be like. So anyhow, yeah, we had a whole episode about Breaking Bad.
I never watched Breaking Bad. I never watched.
Why am I still talking to you?
I don't know.
Why do I consider you a friend?
My
you watched it, Mike, didn't you?
You bet I did, because I'm your friend.
There you go.
My son tried to get us to watch it. We started watching it. It was not to my wife's taste. Let's put it that way.
But you did watch Squid Games.
I did watch Squid Games.
But she did not watch. Okay.
She did not watch Squid Games. No.
On to Thursday.
Anyway, so Thursday led off with Bernardo Sedlicek, an amazing young man. He's one of these guys that you'll sit with him and he'll just start doing stuff for you that transcends card magic. It is just miracle status stuff. In this lecture, it was not a lecture about tricks. He had already done a lecture about tricks. It was a lecture about the experience of magic and what he's trying to get people to experience when he performs and what we should strive for. He ended up doing one effect kind of to illustrate some of the things he was talking about, but just masterful. And I loved it because, you know, I have enough tricks. But to hear that kind of I hesitate to call it theorizing, because it's just more talking about experiences and what you're striving for. It really gets you thinking. So that was followed by the second show, hosted by Gary Morton, one of our old favorites, led off by Will Fern, the Energizer Bunny of Magic.
He keeps on running.
He does. He does. And well, the wonderful, wonderful act, followed by Michael Brager, who did, you know, when he asked me, what should I do? I said, do Art Attack. That's my favorite trick of his. Still is.
That's A-R-T, Art Attack.
A-R-T, yeah. Yes.
Very, very brilliant thinking.
Yeah, fun routine.
If you want to know more about his thinking, I recommend, by the way, that you buy his book. Tell me about the, what are the couple of books, the Five Roads to Vegas?
Yeah, Five Roads to Vegas, Back to the Launching Pad, that has a face up. I'm thinking this morning. Face up out of this world. That's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
And the last one, there was a shorter one called Take Five. It just had five tricks, but there were tricks that come right out of the repertoire, full scripts. And then the one before that, which is my favorite, which is the expert at the cod table, which is the one that's just full of just craziness and fish puns and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, products out there, Art Attack. So you too can do what I did here at 4M.
Where can they buy that?
Everywhere. You can, I mean, they're all, you know, your favorite magic shop.
Yeah, they're downloadable.
Except for the physical things, Art Attack, a few other things, but you know, you can buy them. You go to favorite.
Or of course, I would recommend that you become a patron of the Magic Word Podcast.
There you go. Okay. That's where you were leading me.
That's where I'm going, because ultimately that you were so nice to give our listeners an opportunity to get a free copy of Five Roads to Vegas and from Launching Pad, because if you become a monthly pledge patron through Patreon or through PayPal, then you can have access. You get a free copy of those books then as well.
I'll tell you what. So the latest physical thing that I have is called PSI rollers, like high roller, side roller.
Oh yeah.
And it's a really cool mentalism trick, easy to do. It uses dice that, you know, board game Dungeons and Dragons, weird dice. It's big hit. It's gotten really good reviews. And Scott, I will give you a couple of them to give to a lucky listener. So, yep.
It's a physical thing then, too.
It's a physical thing. Happy to, you know, we'll get it.
Send it out.
We'll get it sent out. Yep. But you can run a little contest. Yep.
I'll do that.
But that's only for that? U.S. listeners. Otherwise, you have to pay the postage.
Thank you very much. See, that's why he's my co-host. All right.
Chief with crispy bacon.
We are back. I've got everything with crispy bacon. Yeah. Over easy. And pancakes.
You have the combo? Or no,
I had the pancakes and also
I'm over here.
Biscuits and gravy. Oh, so anyhow, our food has arrived. We are going to complete the rest of this after we've had a bite to eat. It's more than just a bite.
Yes, several bites.
All right, breakfast is great. And
it was delicious.
Campfire grill.
Much better than the one at the hotel.
Oh, and that's not saying a lot.
No.
Yeah, they have bagels.
And something that they purported were sausage patties, but we couldn't tell.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of was it really an animal you think they did?
Well, I think it was everything they left out of Spam.
So. Yeah, you know, they got chicken nuggets, and these are the things I think that didn't make it to the nugget category.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Well, so we left off with Michael Brager, who was offering us a couple of free things. So we will post that on the website. So I recommend that you're going to be going there, filling out that form, and we will have a drawing in a couple of weeks. And so there you go. And Michael did a great job with one of the tricks was from his book. And next, on Thursday morning was
Danny Archer doing Gino Mozzarella, which is the character he does. Great character. Danny's a great performer. He's one of the owners of Smoke and Mirrors. And in fact, the first four performers on the show were all Smoke and Mirrors performers. So that's pretty cool. Danny did the three ball routine right out of his act, and it's a great routine, and it's obvious this is something he works with all the time. Followed by Carl Mercurio from Jersey, another great commercial worker. I mean, you watch this guy and it's obvious.
This was his first time too, and I thought he did a great job.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. But he's Carl's a pro. I mean, he really knows his stuff.
I just saw him yesterday, and I started the microphone. I said, hey, let's talk for a moment. And just as we did, he said, oh, my ride's here. I got to go. So sorry you guys don't get to hear him. Well, maybe I'll catch him at another time. But yeah, he's a very interesting dude.
You should. He's a worker. Followed by Terry Hedges. Terry did a terrific routine with a sign card appearing under his tie clip repeatedly.
Even though you're watching for it.
And I was sitting there at the table.
I saw you. I wish I would have gotten a picture of your reaction. You kept turning your heads. Oh, my gosh, you got me again.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great. Followed by Tiffany Sauvage, a young lady whose first time at 4F. Tiffany Sauvage is the wife of Boris Wilde. So she got an in.
And also a member of the Slight Club.
Exactly. I had booked Tiffany for MAS a number of years ago. She does the Georgia Wonder Act, also known as the Georgia Magnet. And she put together a 5-minute version of that act. I mean, the whole act is like 20 minutes, but she did a 5-minute version that was, you know, all killer, no filler. Really phenomenal. Really something very, very different, very entertaining. She, you know, again, you know, this is a working act.
I'd recommend that organizers who want something a little bit different, you don't want to get a juggler necessarily. The Georgia Magnet Act is really great. The problem is that she now lives in Paris since she had married Boris, right, which was interesting. When I just got back from there, Boris was telling me that the two of them had done an all French speaking act. You know, over the last year, her French has gotten much better to the point that she now does that same act all in French.
Yeah. And she also does a lecture on the act, on the three. Yeah, well, no, she talks about the three women that did the Georgia Wonder Act, but teaches a number of techniques from the act that she actually uses. Because I mean, there was a book in print written by Lulu Hurst, I believe, one of the Georgia Wonders,
correct,
exposing this stuff. So you know, it's out there, but you know, she's really modernized the act, freshened it up, and it's really terrific. She was followed by John Allen. Again, this is a guy who's a real working pro and works a lot and did, you know, stuff out of his repertoire. The three ply I thought was phenomenal with the misdirection. I don't want to spoil that for anybody. But
his presentation and his humor are just top notch. He's working cruise ships all the time then right now.
Yeah. He started doing cruises. And John, I mean, his technique is great. His trick construction is great. But his thinking about magic, how he thinks about his performances, how he thinks magic should be done, fascinating, terrific, thought-provoking, and, you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Show was closed by Alan Iannone, our buddy from Italy, who provides the limoncello. And again, commercial piece from his act. Alan's been working pro for 30 years. And this is one of the things out of his act it's one of the two tricks he does with a sewn card where his business card appears attached, sewn to a sign card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool thing. So that was the Thursday night show. Sorry. That was the Thursday afternoon show.
Yeah.
Then the John Bannon lecture. John Bannon did what John Bannon does. I mean, you know, he's just been such a creative force for the last 30 some years. And, you know, it was just most of it was all new material and it was great stuff. Then Jimmy C was the guest of honor Thursday night. And, they feted him with honors. Excuse me. And,
Jimmy was, a very humble acceptance speech.
You know? Yeah. And then he performed.
He loves to perform.
Yeah. And, you know, they said it was the Jimmy C lecture. Yeah, it was not a lecture. It was just him performing stuff and talking about it. And that was fine. You know, it's Jimmy. the show, Thursday night show, was emceed by Michael Dardant. And Michael, again, always does a great job. Had some great bits. Show was opened by Lu Xingzhen. From China, who did some absolutely remarkable coin magic. I mean, these guys, you know, you're talking about guys who've seen it all. This was so out there. the productions were absolutely impossible looking, and the banishes and the changes. But you got a standing ovation.
We've had a chance to talk about this a little bit before, but I was uncertain about how to pronounce that. Lu Xing Chen. Yeah. Because he was the guy in which that he had two people, two volunteers who were assisting him, and they would look at his hands. He had his sleeves rolled up all the way, and they were clean both sides. Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden he produced a coin without touching the table, touching his body. I don't know. I'm just stunned.
Just kept doing it.
Yeah.
Produced four coins, banished them just as cleanly, and then just did coin productions, changes, vanishes. It was just, everything looked so clean.
Yeah.
So clean. He was followed by Robin DeVille from France. We had seen Robin do this act at BISM in Quebec. And when I saw him there, he was one of my favorite acts of the close-up competition. Very unusual act, which Mr. Blue and Mr. Red. And he had these two flasks on the table, and he would change characters. Mr. Blue was the bless you, calm and calculated guy. Mr. Red was the wild and sexy Spaniard. Yeah. And, you know, great routine, and it's primarily based on color changes, reds to blues, and just so entertaining.
He would just take a sip from this test tube or from this chemical flask, and then he would change from red to blue, and his personality changed. It was great.
Yep. Then Clark Payne from Canada. You know, he's been with us a bunch of times. Young guy who just does some remarkable card magic. Absolutely beautiful stuff. He did an ace assembly as part of the act that was just really, really, really good. Followed by Alexandre Moreau from France. This is his first time. You know, Alexander was a little nervous, but not, it didn't show. And he did some really interesting material that involved the paper ball sitting on top of a wine glass. Ends up that, you know, the ball vanishes, and the wine glass is not even a glass. It's completely sealed. It was a really different routine. He was followed by Al Chen from Taiwan. I believe Al just placed second in the Asia FISM preliminary competition. You know, very modern look with a leather jacket. And again, Al does some great coin magic. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Followed by Ann Dotst, who is a FISM winner, who lives in Los Angeles now, originally from Vietnam, I believe. And Andy did a mental routine, actually. He did a mental routine, which we're used to seeing during his card act with the light bulbs and stuff. But
yeah,
he wanted to do something very different. And this is just, you know, another good working piece. And Boris Wilde closed the show, not doing Boris Wilde material, but
completely new, different stuff.
Yeah, he did an Aldo Colombini routine, which I believe was called Fireworks. Yeah.
So it's a multiple card selection, multiple card revelation. And I'm very familiar with the routine. He did it great. I think a lot of the revelations, though, were Boris material.
Because
I don't recall them being taught in the Fireworks DVD.
Right.
So it was as much Boris as it was Aldo. But yeah.
But he did it as a tribute to Aldo.
And it was great. It was great. It was Boris. Yes.
Yeah, it's terrific. So that was it for Thursday. Time again for coffee and donuts. Friday morning opened up with a Pat Page workshop, Tricks from Books Everyone Has Forgotten. And I believe...
Hosted by Mike Powers.
Yeah, hosted by Mike Powers. But I believe there were six or seven people presenting, and there was a nice, you know, nice variety of material.
Everyone was given like 5 minutes to show it and teach it.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's all available to all of the attendees online at Mike's site. Mike has a site where you can watch video of it and get PDF downloads and stuff. And there was some real nice material. The highlights to me, Gene Gordon doing the bill transposition, I thought was a
John Scarney thing.
Exactly. He credits to Scarney, but there's a whole lot more going on than just the Scarney idea. And
a practical walk around cocktail party thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's do anytime, anywhere kind of thing. And Alexandre Duvivier's, handling of, Derek Dingle's, sympathetic cards. Beautiful, beautiful routine. So nice to see. And the question on everybody's lips was, do you sell the cards? And she goes, no, but you can ask Gary Plants. And everybody's saying, yeah, Gary's out of business. He's not doing those anymore. She says, if you beg, he might make you a set.
That's going to be a hard one. That's a hard get right there because that was one of those things. It's more of a demonstration. It's kind of like, look at this as a cool trick and here's how it's done, but you can't do it.
Right. But I mean, it's obviously a piece she performs.
Sure.
And it's a very commercial piece of magic and it's worth, you know, splitting cards for, you know, you get.
However, the trick you and I have talked about, you know, a lot, that was Jim Steinmeier's sympathetic, where the cards match.
Deepest
Sympathies. Yeah. Similar kind of effect.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it is similar, but different.
But different. Exactly. So I'm saying is for those who can't find the cards, look into Deepest Sympathy. You know,
Jim Steinmeier. Or you can go to Card Shark and buy 10. The Trick 10 by Jorg Alexander, which is same effect, different handling.
Yeah. Or,
or you can buy my book, Take 5. There's an impromptu version of sympathetic cards in there as well, without gaps.
But the other performers on it were Maria Schweder, who is Mike's wife, Mark Trudell from Canada, Steve Freeberg, and Jeff Williams, who taught this thing that everybody was just scratching their heads over because we just couldn't figure out what the hell he was talking about. It's a number, you know, adding up this number represents this, and we're like, oh, my God.
Suffice it to say it's confusing.
It's confusing, yes. But as the professor says,
yeah.
As the professor says, and we won't go on from there. So then we go to the Friday Frolics afternoon show, which was hosted by Mayor Yedid, and Mayor does a wonderful thing, and the running gag was, this next act appeared on Penn and Teller, but who hasn't? Well, not me, but that's another thing. Yeah, you know what I mean. So first up was Jaffo, Jason Fields from Orlando.
Great.
I love this routine. It's basically his handling of Zone Zero, Jerry Andrus, but with a pool table and pool balls. And the routine is phenomenal. And he and I have talked about it. And he always says it's a work in progress. He's always working on this thing. And he did it on Penn and Teller. It didn't fool them, but great routine. Great routine. Followed by Daniel Marmina from Argentina. Daniel's another FISM competitor. And I think he won an award over the last FISM. Again, for invention, very creative guy, doing some coin magic, coin and card magic, matrixy kind of stuff. He was followed by Steve Dupere from Canada, the muscle man. and Steve just did some really nice card stuff. He did like this really impossible, I'll call it like a Chicago opener kind of thing, Red Hot Mama, but really, really far, far beyond that. He's on steroids. Javi Benitez from Spain followed him doing his, what he calls the, it's a tribute to Ascanio. I forget the what he referred to. It was something Padre Ascanio. It's a routine with four blank cards that print on the faces and the backs, and then the faces change and the backs change and the faces change and the backs change, and then eventually they become blank cards again.
He did that on Penn and Teller.
He did it on Penn and Teller. He did it at my house when he lectured.
And he never explains it, which is great.
And he never explains it.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's a beautiful routine. Alexandra Duvivier followed doing what Alexandra does. She's just
charming.
She is. I mean, you know, she has such great life experience now, performing constantly, and now she's going way beyond the confines of Duke Nifrey, and really has broken out as her own performer, performing all over the world, and she just does beautiful magic. Beautiful magic. She was followed by Stefan Gomez. Stefan is a young man from France who did some really nice card material, card change stuff that was very clean looking and didn't speak a lot, but you know, it was beautiful. He was followed by Shank Kothare and Ed Ripley doing a pseudo mental act. It was a comedy act and it was very effective. It got big laughs and very, very good. And they finished with this number prediction thing, which was the date and time of performance. I closed the show, opened up with my version of the homing card called Hachiko, which is the story of the dog, the Japanese dog, who always returned to
train station
to the train station to find his master. Yeah. And it's one of my favorite routines, and the audience really seemed to appreciate it. I followed up with a comedy routine because Brian Curry and I have a tradition now of just tearing into each other. It is all love. We are we're friends, and we plan every year what we can do to each other. And I'm just waiting to hear what he's going to do to me today. But the payoff to the thing is it's a version of the baby gag, my baby Huey routine, but it's a picture of Brian that I've had photoshopped, so it looks like he's, you know, it's a mugshot, and the number in the mugshot just happened to be the exact number that Shankin did. So I was like, well, this is not going to be as interesting as you think. What I should have said was, you know, rather than having everybody create a number, let's just use their number. So that was that. So that was the afternoon show. That was followed by the Javi Benitez lecture, which was phenomenal. Javi just lectured my house like 2 months ago, and it was, you know, snippets from that. Boy, you know, great material. And the highlights to me, the teeth routine, and I'm not going to say anything more. If you've seen it, you know. If you haven't seen it, you got to see this. It's just really funny. And the thread, he finished with El Hilo, which is torn and restored thread. And it's probably the best version I've seen.
Same with me. Fool me completely.
Yeah, it's very clean looking. And it's a killer. It's a killer. So we had our dinner break and then came back for the guest of honor, who was Charming Choi, or as he said, Charming Choi.
Who's a TV star in Korea.
Exactly. And a guy, despite the fact that he looks like he's 15,
maybe,
kind of is like, I don't want to call him the godfather, but all the performers in the show were all performers who learned magic because they saw Charming Choi. And they learned from him. He was their coach and, you know, their mentor. And so the whole show was like a big love fest, to thank him, which is really, really nice. Opened by Kim Eun Do, who a lot of magicians around the world know. He's done FISM several times. He is an international star. And he opened with his close-up routine, which he did on Penn & Teller, which is just a wonderful routine with a deck of cards. And one of the cards has an arrow printed on it. And that's all I got to say. Myung Jun Lee followed him, a young man who is big creative force there. He has started publishing and marketing stuff, and he did just this really cool matrix where the cards weren't even covered. He just touched them with a magic wand, which let out a burst of light, and the coin vanished, and he touched over here, and it appeared. Pretty cool.
That was.
Yeah. Followed by Steve, who does a stand-up manip back with like a running theme of perfume bottles appearing and card manips. Nice idea. Jackie Yu. Oh, my! followed Jackie again, has been living in the States and become something of a star over here, and he's done Penn and Teller, and I think he's also done Masters. It's really entertaining stuff. Jackie, you know, has a great handle on his persona, and he also did a version of Zone Zero, radically different from what we'd already seen. Kyungwook Kim, KW, followed. Again, very young man who does some incredible coin magic. You got a standing ovation. Absolutely beautiful. Also makes gimmick coins. His gaffes are stunning. I mean, expensive, but incredible. Followed by Rex doing a stand-up manip act. Rex just finished national service in the Army 2 weeks ago. So everybody in Korea has to do 2 years of service. PH followed, again, another person that people might know because he's very, very creative and has put out a bunch of stuff and did some great stuff, including some stuff that hasn't been marketed. Charming Choi did shtick throughout the show in cooperation with these other guys. They did a couple bits that were parodies of Squid Games. They did a couple bits that were like mock illusions, parody of illusions, but done with small props, but played like they're illusionists on stage. Very funny. And Kim Eun Do came back and did his stage act, which was his FISM comp act, which is he's an orchestra conductor who just And somebody sitting next to me says, man, that was like watching Cardini. It's the magic getting better, the better of him.
Yeah.
Frustrated and you know, the baton kept vanishing and appearing and vanishing and appearing. And I said, you know, that is the best use of a single technique with a single prop over and over, but in so many different ways that it just kept you guessing. It was really, it's a very good act, very creative act. And again, standing ovation. So, you know, that was the end of the show. Then it was off
back to the hospitality suite again.
Back to the hospitality suite.
And no more limoncello. I think I ran out of that.
Yeah, they finished up. By the time Scotty and I got there, the limoncello was gone. So I had one little tiny sip, as did
and
Michael.
A little bit of cheese.
Yeah, we had cheese.
Yeah.
So I got to go buy reinforcements today. I got to go buy Fireball because that was always my contribution to the Italian suite.
Oh, and then tonight, of course, we'll be having the what's left of the scotch.
Exactly, the scotch tasting again. So we're looking forward to the final day of festivities.
Which right now, we are just finishing breakfast, and we're going to be heading back to see the one-man show by
Paul Gertner.
Yeah. Last year we saw Eric DeCamps do his amazing one-man show. I'm expecting nothing less than an amazing show from Paul.
You know, I just think it's such a great idea to let a single performer do long form so you can get to see what they really do when they're out there doing their shows for the public.
We've never done this with actors before.
You know, at MAS about a dozen years ago, we started doing it on Thursday nights, that the Thursday night show would be a single performer. And we kind of stuck to that till the 1 year we had Bob Fitch, and Bob Fitch did a 4-hour workshop with Celeste DeCamps. Celeste did the workshop with him. But this year, last year we did Brian Curry's old partner, Mark Phillips, has a partner who took over for Brian when Brian left the show, Ryan Phillips. So they do a show that they do in Washington called Magic Duel. And so we had them do Magic Duel as the Friday night show last year.
I remember 1 year for opening night on Thursday night, you had a great idea in which you had a TV talk show thing. It was, what was that? Now you see it was Scott Wells.
Oh, Scott Wells. Yeah, that's Scott Wells guy. Very entertaining, particularly when we moved the couch and the plants on stage.
Yeah.
Which the hotel was so happy about.
Yeah, when the fire engine showed up.
Exactly.
Whole other story.
Yeah, yeah. So we're continuing that. This year We're kind of breaking that tradition a little. The Thursday night show is a troupe called Arcane Noir Variety Troupe. And one of our members, Nikki Galbraith, who was a former president, fronts a rock band as well as a burlesque troupe. Mm-hmm. And the burlesque troupe does magic. And that's going to be the Thursday night show. So I said, you've got to bring defibrillators because I'm sure there's going to be some old guys there. Then.
So when is MAS?
MAS is September 5, 6, 7.
So it's right after the Magic Texas.
Exactly. Week after Magic Texas, which my wife is so pleased about.
Are you coming?
Oh, yeah. I will be at Magic Texas because hopefully I'll be coming into office for the SAM.
Excellent.
And next year I'm taking over as the convention contest chairman.
I wondered who was – oh, you mean contest chairman. That's right. We don't know who's going to be taking Mike Miller's place.
Mike Miller, his replacement is Ice McDonald.
Okay.
Ice is booking the talent. They asked me to take over from Vinny. This year I'll have relatively little to do because it is FISMNA.
So I recommend if you have not gotten the information on Magic Texas, you go to the magicwarpodcast.com and just go to the convention guide page and you'll see that. And we've got a short podcast we do every couple of weeks kind of giving updates on what's happening there. This will be going to be the convention of the year. They're hoping for about 1,000 registrants because it is going to be a FISM-related event.
Exactly. It is the FISM-NA competition, which is the qualifying heats to compete at FISM in 2025 in Turin.
Mike Miller has said of all the years of booking different acts for Abbott's, for the SAM, for so many other places, he said this is the best group of talent that I've ever booked.
It's going to be a tremendous lineup, and the convention is going to be great. Great lectures, great shows. And hopefully we'll have a great competition.
And a brand new hotel just opened up in February. And so it's right across from Arlington Stadium. There are a lot of places to eat right there.
And Six Flags.
And opening day for, I think, baseball.
Astros?
Not Astros. Sorry, it won't be opening day. Maybe in September. But they're playing the Yankees, I think, actually. No, the Rangers are playing there.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyhow.
But Six Flags is right across the street.
Right across the street. And they got a special deal with them. It's like 75% off.
Oh, it's like, $35?
Yeah. which includes including parking. And we got, anyhow, you can check out all information over there. So go to that and then head on over to Cherry Hills, New Jersey for the MAS.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we'll talk a little bit later then, Mark, as we wrap up the rest of the day. And Michael, thank you very much for being here.
And congratulations, belated congratulations on the honor that you had. Was it next week?
It's coming May the 17th.
May the 17th. So, yeah, you are indeed a fellow. And nobody shall deny.
Nobody shall deny. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Vitto.
Charlie Goodfellow.
And Mark D'Souza. Scotty out. We just finished the one-man show of Paul Gertner, which was great. And last year we had a one-man show with Eric DeCamps, and I kind of like this idea of having a one-man show type of a thing. And I'm here right now, actually, with Tiffany Savage, who I guess you haven't changed your name to Wild, although she is married to Boris Wild. Here she is. Hey, Tiff.
Hey, Scott.
So, bonjour.
Oh, yes. Bonjour.
has Boris... thought about doing like a one-man show here? I'm sure he has done that over in Paris.
Oh, yeah. He does it a couple times a month at the Du Bluffon over in Paris, the Du Vivier's place. And he does it kind of all throughout France and Belgium, you know, just Europe as a whole. This is my first year here, so I don't know how you get in doing a one-man show or a one-woman show.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he would love to. And I've seen it probably more than anybody else, and I still love watching it.
At this point, have you given him some ideas or tips or something of saying, you know, what if you did this or that, or have been an inspiration for him for some ideas?
Yeah. I mean, it's really nice having, you know, two magicians living together. We kind of bounce ideas off of each other. And he usually asks for my advice, especially when he's performing in the States. Usually it's scripting ideas because he has obviously a larger card knowledge base than I do. Yeah. But there's definitely a couple times where he's like, you know, how does this look? What do you think of this? And I'll give him, you know, just like, well, what if we did it this way? What if you held it this way? So, yeah, it's really nice to be able to just kind of collaborate together.
So you collaborate a little bit for his American shows. And so he's helped you. I understand that when the two of you have worked together and you've done your full Georgia Magnet show in French.
Yeah, well, I didn't do the full Georgia Magnet show in French. We did a duo act together in French, full 15 minutes, totally in French. But I have done the Georgia Magnet, Georgia Wonder show over in France. He translated for me, which was super fun because, of course, we got to play with that. Because, you know, when you live with your translator, you get to do some built-in jokes and that kind of thing. But last month, we did our first duo act together in French. So it was first time for both of those. That was nerve-wracking, but it went really well. I was really proud of it.
And so now that you've gotten over that hump of the first time, I guess you're looking forward to doing this even more often.
Yes, absolutely. And it was really interesting because, of course, we wrote the script and everything. And then I went through and wrote down everything phonetically.
Right.
Because in French, certain words, when they're put together, they kind of run together. So I was so worried about saying something because, of course, just the wrong pronunciation can change the meaning completely. Yeah. And especially when you're trying to give instructions, like, you don't want that. That
when
is the last
to
thing
say
you
push
want.
People, you know, push you and they're pulling or something. Or
Well, we did cards, you know, shocking. you know, when you're telling somebody to look at a card, you want to make sure they open the deck and look at the card and, you know, you don't get that muddled or anything. So now that I've gotten over that hump, I have my scripting down perfectly in English. I'm like, okay, now it's time to learn all 15 minutes by myself in French. So that's the next thing.
Now, you've been involved, I know, in magic for a long time. And of course, being involved with tricks and also with a slight club, Scott Robinson had put together and everything. You have, I've seen you perform and you have amazing chops as a professional close-up magician then as well. But the Georgia Magnet, the Lulu Hearst thing is something that's fairly recent in your career, right?
I've been doing it for about 13 years.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Gene, you're only 16, so you've only been for a short time.
Yeah, I'm only 16. No. So I started doing it actually right when I thought about getting out of magic. I found it. And I just started researching it. I was very fortunate. I have friends that work at colleges, so I got to meet with physics professors that would help me kind of figure out things, you know, like, why isn't this working? And, you know, I have Barry Wiley's book and the Lulu Hurst autobiography and Body Magic by John Fisher. So it was kind of taking all those things and putting them together. And a lot of, I call it R&D, but really it was just going, I lived in Myrtle Beach at the time when I first started. I would go into biker bars and bet drinks against Hell's Angels that they could or couldn't pick me up or lift my hand off my head or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, you know, if I can do it for a group of bikers, I can do it anywhere.
Is this during like bike week or something there? Or
no.
It's all the time?
This is all the time. We do have bike week in Myrtle Beach, but they have one of the biggest biker bars on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So I would just go down there with my friend. She had a bike.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be, you know, Thursday night or Wednesday, you know, during the week. They'd all be hanging out. I'm like, hey, bet you a drink you can't lift my hand off my head. You know, they're these huge guys all tatted up, the leathers. And yeah, it was, I had so much fun doing it.
What drew your attention to that to begin with? Was it the fact that she was a woman or something that no one had done? It's kind of an obscure type of an act in a person. So what drew you to that?
It was kind of all the above. You know, all the magic groups, it's like, it's always that, oh, I've heard of it kind of thing. And what cracks me up was that the thing I heard was, oh, it's that thing that works on physics. That's how the world works. Of course it works on physics. But I've always been a geek. You know, I feel like to be a magician, you have to be some kind of geek. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved the idea of like super strength and that kind of thing. And especially because like in my family, I'm the smallest. I'm 5'5" and a half. The shortest and smallest besides me is my mom at 5'10". So I've always like wanted to be bigger and stronger. And, you know, I've always felt like kind of this little peanut. And so that really drew me to it, just being able to be powerful and kind of that Wonder Woman
right.
kind of feel.
Right. So now that you are in France, you enjoying that new different lifestyle than what you had over here?
Yes. Yeah. It's been really great. I've been there a little over a year now. Mm-hmm. I just finished up 100 hours of French class. So I'm not fluent, but I can converse. It was really great. The other night I was in a group of, you know, the Canadians and some of the Frenchies, and we're all speaking French. And I was like, oh, I understand. And I can contribute to the conversation. And one of my English friends walked by and they're like, oh, I don't understand a word. And I was like, no, you don't. I almost know what I'm doing now.
Almost, yeah. Do you think eventually you'll have dual citizenship?
Yeah, it's a little complicated to get it. You have to be in the country for like 5 or 10 years. You have to be at a C1 level of language, which is fluent. And there are a couple other parameters. But eventually, yes, I would love to do that. It would just make life a little easier. But the visa process is very complicated. We tried to renew it last year around May. And now we're about to renew it for a second time. My yes. last renewal still hasn't come through. So I always joke. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm an illegal immigrant.
That's right. So illegal immigrant. So this is your first time, obviously, here at the 4F and not going to be your last. So what's been your experience so far?
It's been everything everyone said it would be and so much more. You know, I heard it was like a family reunion and it was nice coming in, you know, knowing people, you know, just, you know, from my time in magic and obviously being with Boris, I made wonderful connections. But I did not let him help me get here at all. Mm-hmm. Joan actually asked him last year. She's like, well, where's Tiffany? And Boris is like, she won't let me invite her. And I wouldn't let him invite me. I wouldn't let him sponsor me. He didn't even see my act until everybody else did.
Who were your sponsors?
Alexandre Duvivier and Rolando Santos. Mm. I was very proud of that. I wanted a woman to sponsor me. And Alexandre and I have gotten close. I wanted someone from each of my countries.
Yeah.
So I had U.S. And perfect. France. Yeah. But it's been wonderful. Everyone's been so supportive, mm-hmm. Especially after the act. I was a little worried, you know, because it's not a close-up. But the feedback I've gotten, it's been wonderful too, the knowledge base here, because a lot of people have researched it beforehand. So it was nice to actually talk to people about it, like what resources there are out there and what they've learned or who they've seen do it, which, you know, hasn't been a lot, but Susafon, she did it, a while ago and it was great. You know, she went to Venice Beach and did everything. And, Ricky J had it on Learned Pigs and Fireproof Women.
Yeah.
So it was nice to talk to people that knew, you know, what I was talking about.
Yeah. I've read the book and it's in my library. It's like, I've always thought that's an amazing act, but that's the only thing I have is just that one book.
Yeah. The Barry Wiley book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It is. And that's something that could get you interested in this then as well. But I would also encourage people who are listening to this who are convention organizers to think about booking you and your act. And because I understand you got a great lecture on this too.
I do. I'm very proud of my lecture. I've worked very hard on it. Of course, I go over the how-to. You know, how to do it. But also, I believe what made the Georgia Wonder Act what it is and what it was are the women that did it, because they were true pioneers, especially for their time. You know, it was the 1880s. All three of them lived their lives completely outside of the norm. You know, my act here, I open it up. I basically tell the story of Annie Abbott. She was 16 and her husband was murdered. He was the equivalent of like a Texas Ranger in Georgia. And he went to go break up a bar fight and he was shot and killed.
Wow.
And she was left with their six kids. What do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah. What do you do? And, you know, she made it work.
Yeah.
And same with Lulu Hirsch. She only did the act for about a year and a half, I believe. She became a millionaire. Literally, she made $1 million in 1880.
Amazing.
Yeah,
just for a year and a half.
Yeah. So I talk about the history of it, how to do it. And I also, because I understand not everybody can do this act, you know, especially like with men or like bigger guys, like of course, Oscar Munoz did a wonderful job of doing it the other night in my spoof act. But I understand not everybody can do it. So I try to make it more accessible.
Yeah.
And I talk about how to use, I don't like the term instant stooge, but I call it an instant performer. And I was actually showing people last night, like you can pull somebody up out of the audience and they can immediately do parts of the act. So you can give them the power and it's very versatile. You can use it in, you know, empowerment conferences and that kind of thing. I thought about
women empowerment meetings and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. I've done a couple of those and they're super fun. They're wonderful. And it's not just women, like men can do it too. And it's really interesting.
But I would think it would have to be for a smaller, more effeminate man of a certain size or body frame that would make it appear to be more difficult. In other words, that for a woman that traditionally think of as being weak, I mean, there are a lot of women bodybuilders. My point is that it's a woman doesn't have the strength that a man has. So in other words, I think it'd be more difficult for a man unless, again, it was someone, as I say, was more effeminate, has more feminine features, I guess. Mm-hmm. To do that kind of an act. I don't think that someone who's a male muscle bodybuilder could do that. I mean, you'd say, well, sure, I can't lift you, you know, or whatever.
Right, exactly. So if you're, I'm talking more in like an empowerment way, like if you're doing an empowerment talk, like, you know, men can do it. But yeah, absolutely. If you're doing it as an act, you know, bigger guys is not going to work that well.
Right.
I also teach them how to, you know, pull somebody up on stage if they want to give somebody this power.
I like that.
And you can play it however you want. Obviously, you know, obviously I use lipstick, but there are so many other ways you can do it. I've done it where somebody wrote down their fear or something they felt was holding them back. They don't have to, you know, say what it is. They don't have to reveal it to anybody. But, you know, when they're holding it, you can lift their hand off their head. Mm-hmm. And when they're not holding it, they become strong. You can't lift their hand off their head. So it's a little mental thing, too.
Do you talk also then about Jean-Eugène Robert Houdin, in which that he had the light heavy chest?
I don't.
Something you might think about adding. Because, you know, he would empower somebody to get the strongest guy in the tribe to try to lift it, and he couldn't. And then got the tiniest little girl, you know, to try to lift it, and she could because would give him the power. You know?
Yes, I love that. And I've done a little bit of research into it. I haven't found the right way to make it kind of dovetail into the lecture quite yet. And I want to add it into my full act.
Yeah.
I haven't found the right way to do it yet. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. So.
Well, Liz, you're talking about history, and I'm just thinking that's something that is historical then as well. Talk about men and women, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the other thing. Like, my act, for a while, it was like, I didn't come up with this marketing, but somebody called it the feminist magic act. And I'm like, I feel like that marginalizes a lot of people. Like, my act, my full show is called The Forgotten Library because I'm telling stories from history. Men, women, doesn't matter what. It's just forgotten stories that I put together with magic effects.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And I wish you nothing but the greatest of success. And
I
feel like you're, although you've been doing this for 13 years, you said, but it's something that I think you're on the cusp of greatness right now, you know, of recognition. People starting to say, hey, who is she? Yeah, I need to have her in our show or we know whatever. So I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I feel like I finally put in all the work and now I can be like, okay, I've got it exactly where I need it.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So that was Tiffany, the magnet, the French magnet. This is Scotty. The 4F convention has been going on, as we've talked about before, for several years, this being the 51st year of this. But there is another convention that goes on in Charlotte, South Carolina, that
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah. It's out there somewhere. that was kind of based a little bit then, I think, on the 4F and the standpoint of being for close-up guys. And it was created by my good friend who's here with us right now, Scott Robinson. Hey, Scott.
How are you, Scott Wells?
I am doing very well, great. Scott. So this convention that you have, and I've been to it a few times, and it's mm-hmm. fantastic, and it is a kind of a version of the 4F, except that you have people that you invite to perform right. and come out, as opposed to here's kind of like who's going to show up and then they decide.
It's not invitation only, of
yeah,
course.
But
it's open to everyone. But a lot of the format for it came from 4F for sure.
Yeah. And it is all based on close up, and you said that people can attend. However, you know, it is limited due to the space.
Yeah, we only do 120, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, is the perfect number. It works out well for us. Yeah. So this is our 15th year.
15th.
15th.
That's kind of funny since this is 5-1 for this.
And that's 1-5. Yeah.
Okay. I get the relevance. And how many times have you been attending this, by the way, the 4F convention?
I don't know how many. I've been coming since 92, I think.
And you haven't missed anything since then?
I missed a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, well, it does. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But a couple that I have missed then as well. And
is this boring? I think this is boring. Well, this feels like a boring conversation.
What do you want to talk about that's exciting? I want to talk about tricks.
Well, I want to talk about some of the shows here. My goodness. Yes. Today, the show was fantastic. The whatever they call it, Magic Around the World.
The mini world that's on Farquhar.
It was so good. So many surprises. I can't even... I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Oh,
I can't tell you. We can't tell the people. We saw things.
Yes.
Doesn't it give you so much excitement and hope?
Yeah.
The things we see. And these are from younger folks.
Yeah.
Creativity is amazing. I have goosebumps thinking about the stuff we had.
Magic is in good hands, I think.
It really is. Yeah. It's fantastic. But we can talk about tricks. Notice I had to bring the tricks schedule up on my phone because I can't remember. All the years blur together, and I can't remember who I book each year. But
well, speaking of tricks, also one of the things we saw today was Paul Gertner's one-man show, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing a version of that at Tricks this year. He's our guest of honor. Okay. So we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be... Paul's fantastic.
Yeah.
And
such an all-around great guy, too.
And I've always been my guests of honors are people I'm fans of. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way it works. And and people that have been important to me, like Steve Beam was my first one. Yeah. And
he's kind of like a co-partner with you. I mean, he's always a foil, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You guys joke off of each other.
We do. Yeah. And we've had Michael Amar. And I've been thinking about Paul for so long and that – he has so many iconic pieces. You know, if you think about it, he has these, you think about David Roth, he had these iconic pieces. Paul mm-hmm. Gertner has these iconic pieces that, you can't even imagine anyone else doing them. It's like an actor in a movie.
I couldn't do the cups and balls with steel balls without nobody could.
No.
It's like, okay, you're doing
and
that.
Even if you would, even if you could do it technically, it would probably be a bad imitation.
Good point. So who else is going to be there?
So Shutagawa's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. FISM winner.
Rocco.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He hasn't performed much
around the
conventions. He hasn't been here for a while. Ruby Ferraris. Mm-hmm. You remember him from last year?
I do remember him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic coin worker and just a really creative guy. Bernardo Seglasek.
Bernardo has been one of the highlights here also.
Yeah, he's frying people. Out in the halls, he's frying people. Pippo, are you familiar with Pippo?
Not Pippo, no.
Huh? Oh, well, you are in for a treat. Okay. Pippo is one of my favorite performers in all the world. He is fantastic. This is his second time at Tricks.
Okay.
John Graham. Wrote a fantastic book called Stage by Stage. He's best friends with Ozzie Wynn, and the book is about taking close-up magic and doing it on stage without a camera.
He gave a dual lecture, I think.
At Magi Fest.
Yeah. That's where we saw him.
Yep.
Now I remember the name.
There you go. David Parr, who you're probably familiar with.
Of course.
And Ed Ellis, who old school, used to work the castle all the time. Yep. Old school.
He's one of the hardest
magician.
Working guys. Yeah. Seems like he's always out there just grinding.
And then, of course, this year, something I had to leave out last year, is the newcomer lecture. We're having the newcomer lecture this year, which to me is one of the highlights.
And I had missed that. Not to mention that because, and those guys that you have brought in as the newcomer have been amazing. It's like, they're not just newcomers, but they're new ideas and everything they present then as well.
Yeah, I try to get people that I think are going to
be. Wasn't Kyle Purnell one that you had?
Kyle Purnell was, Kyle Littleton, just Ryan Schlutz before people knew who he was. So it's been, we've been very fortunate. Really, really fortunate.
Are you not sold out yet this year?
We always sell out in August.
Okay, so you got a few more months before
we have a few more months.
Sell out. And so what? When's it going to be?
We are at 80% though.
Okay.
Things have sold very fast this year. So it is November.
The coming soon.
7th through 9th. Is that when it is? Yes, it is. 7th and 9th. And we're going to have some workshops as well. Bernardo's doing workshop and Schutz doing a workshop. I think Bernardo's is going to be- As an extra price event. So Bernardo's going to do one on Thursday night and Schutz's going to do one on Sunday.
It is a really good convention. It's a lot of fun and it's a lot of sessioning that goes on and it's all age groups also. I mean, from, I want to say 8 to 80, but I mean, it's not quite that young, but I mean, you got a lot of young people who are there and it kind of formed from the Slight Club. Tell me a little bit about the Slight Club.
So Slight Club is a group that started almost 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. The regular Agit clubs provided me with part of what I needed. But not another part. And the other part I needed was really critical feedback. And so we started getting together. There was four of us and now there's about 20 of us.
Yeah.
We meet every week.
Yeah.
And the purpose is direct, honest feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And just to help each other be better. A number of the folks from Slight Club have been on Foolus, of course. Mm-hmm. And, Brian Saint has won a couple times and, you know, he puts it through the Slight Club system to help hone it as well as working with other people. So
that's what we do. I know that Tiffany belongs to Slight Club.
Tiffany does, except she moved away. So I think we should not have her as a member anymore. She did great.
She did.
Didn't she do great?
Yeah, she did. Georgia Magnet act that she does is wonderful. We just spoke to her just before I got in with you to chat with this. And the show, as you said, throughout this whole weekend have been really great. Is there something or someone or either in the show or in the lobby that has stood out for you?
Hmm.
Aside from just the
normal camaraderie. So when you have so much good stuff going on, it's really hard to, you know, things you just saw is fresh on your mind.
Yeah.
That cups and balls routine I saw.
Yeah.
That was, it fooled me. The Rune Carlson's new thing, new ending to his
pillbox.
I can't imagine before, but
he's done some more work on that. I love the fact that he continues. People, they were just talking in the Ed Talk over there that Vernon has had said magicians stop thinking too early, you know, and the guys who are here don't. It seems like they're continuing to work on that.
And push the envelope.
Yeah, that's very good.
One of my highlights was something we just saw in the Ed Talk. I think, and I was telling Tiffany, she was sitting beside me, Brian Curry is going to be a force.
He's a funny guy.
He is funny. His thought process is fantastic. I can't wait to see where he goes because I think he's going to be fantastic. So maybe I should get him at Trix.
You should while he's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Before he's known everyone. Yeah,
that's true. But it has been a really good convention, and today was really good. Again, with the shows that they've had have been stellar. You know, didn't talk about Sean Farquhar, but he again did a great job as an MC.
He's grown. He's become really good as an MC. He said it is his thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he's really good.
And of course, then Michael Dardant last year did a play on Lucy Darling, and this year he did one on Jimmy C.
What was it? Timmy V.
Yeah.
Or Z. I don't, it was very funny. That's one thing, you know, that's what I love about 4F. Everybody can take a joke and the jokes flow, right? And people are writing them, right? They're looking for opportunities. They are fresh. Every show is a fertile field for material for the guys that are into that.
That was one of the things that Steve Friedberg talked about then in his Ed Talk. And Ed, by the way, coming from Eddie Fechter, since this is Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic, that about Groucho Marx and doing improv, it could be scripted, but you should still be able to think on your feet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. I mean, I knew a lot about Steve. I had no idea he knew a lot about Groucho Marx.
I didn't know he was that involved.
Yeah, really into it. But that was a really good Ed Talk. What else was in there? Brian Curry.
Yeah, Peter McLonigan talked about Roy Walton and, you know, Tam Shepard.
Wasn't that great?
I love history.
It was history, and it's I learned things I didn't know, right? I've never been to the place. We saw a very young picture of Scott Wells.
Scott Wells. Yeah. It was about 100 pounds ago.
Yeah. Like. How many years was that?
That had to be, I was out there doing the Sterling Castle of Magic, and I think it was 2005 or six.
So are you going to post that picture? So when they listen to this and hear us talk about it, they get to see the picture?
If I can find that.
I know who has it.
I was honored to have a chance to meet Roy and go in there.
That is so. That's yeah. I never was able to. So yeah. That's fantastic.
It was great. Yeah. Anyhow, it was a great afternoon. Again, starting off with Paul and then the Ed Talks, and then we're now going to go into dinner and then
a
gala show tonight,
which I'm looking forward to. You know,
Steve Beam is going to be talking about your buddy.
Yeah. Steve Beam's there's already been a couple jabs at me this weekend, but
they're not finished yet. Probably.
No, I'm talking about in show Gary. Yeah. Morton was like throwing darts at me. What the heck? But Beam is emceeing it. And Casero and Jeff Williams are kind of taking the spot that we're used to having
Bargatze and Rick Merrill.
It'll be interesting to see their spin on burying legends to their face.
By the way, that was one thing, speaking of Gary Morton, that he had said when Tiffany came out and was doing her Georgia Magnet act, said that one thing about Tiffany is that she's the only one that Scott Wells hasn't, in this whole room, he hadn't talked to yet.
So did you talk to her?
I just talked to her.
Okay.
I was thinking, that's not true, because I did at Tricks a couple of times.
Yeah.
But today, yes, we
but
just
you haven't
chatted,
done so, a whole episode. You haven't done a whole episode.
Yeah, like yeah. I did with you.
Yeah, we had a, yeah. That was fun.
It was fun.
So was the cocktail thing we did. That was really fun.
Yeah, the Thursday Magic Martinis during COVID thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
we had a great time. Scott, you're a good buddy. Thanks very much. Man. I appreciate everything that you do for
Magic.
See
you in November?
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
You better. It's on. No, you need to make the commitment now on while you're recording, or you'll have to throw all this out.
I can't.
You're going to try. You're going to try
as best right. I can do. So okay. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Scott Robinson, Scotty out, and Scotty out. One of the people who is a guest of honor who is being feted here this weekend, or I should say this week at this convention, is Charming Choi. And he's been here a few times in the past, but he is someone who also was the host of the last evening's Korean show, which was phenomenal to get all these guys together, probably never then again. So I've got him here with me right now, Charming Choi. Hey, Charming.
Hi, I am Charming Choi from South Korea. Not North.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm a professional magician in Korea right now. And then the TV magic, you can Google my name, the Hyunwoo Choi, that this is my real name.
Charming Choi is your real name.
Charming name. I know. No, actually, Charming Choi is a nickname.
Nickname.
Only for stage.
Yeah.
For magic convention.
Uh-huh.
Because 2002, I got a winner on IBM Magic Convention, but the MC announced my name.
Yes,
Hyunwoo Choi. But I can't recognize my name.
Yeah.
So
That's funny.
I can't give the award at that time.
Yes.
So after that, I decided to change my name. But first time the Eddie is too many, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, what is the impact name? So, Charming Choi.
Yeah.
But sometimes I regret it to my nickname because I'm getting old.
Yes. Getting old. You look like you're only 12 years old.
Oh,
you have
no,
such a nice, fine, young features.
No. Actually, my age is 46.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
So I regret my full name.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am ashamed of my name. But right now, Charming Choi.
Do you go on television as Charming Choi or do you go by your real name?
Yeah, on my TV show, the Real Rain, the Hyunwoo Choi. The Korean name is Choi Hyunwoo. Hyunwoo.
Jay Chanwoo. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. Anyway, the
So your TV show is all magic.
Yeah, all magic, or sometimes the MC.
And sometimes what?
MC, the entertainment show.
Yes. Mm. And I understand that you teach other magicians, like the people who were here last night were students of yours.
Yeah, right.
So they look up to you. You're really kind of a sensei. You're kind of a master magician in Korea.
Yes. My teacher was the first magician and also first TV magician in Korea.
Okay.
And then the 19 in high school, I was his student.
Yes.
The first student. So I learned a lot from him. So and then the lots of magician influenced me. Mm-hmm. The Obi too. The Obi O'Brien, the 4F, the Obi O'Brien, teaching me the lots of things.
Yes. And he wanted you to come.
Come to 4F.
But you said, he doesn't pay.
Yeah.
I'm not coming.
Yeah. What? Free? No? Yes. Yeah.
So. And then he asked you a second time and you still said no.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until what year did you come finally?
Finally, the 2008.
2008.
Yeah.
And you're having a great time, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because, I felt, okay, the most magician in 4F, don't pay.
Right.
I felt, the lots of magicians, love the magic.
Yes.
The like, on the stage. So, yeah, I learned a lot every time.
Are you going to come back next year and in future years?
I hope next year. Yeah.
It's a long way.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine you must have really enjoyed this, the fact that you put this whole show together with all of your friends having come.
Yeah.
And I know that was special for them too. They loved it.
But actually, to be honest, this time was the second Korean gala show, but it's so hard.
Yeah.
For me, because I portrayed my junior members. Okay, it's a good convention, but it's free.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, you're not making any money.
Yeah. So what? But yeah. I explained the 4F, the magic history, lots of living legendary, the magician, the teaching something, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yes. So I hope the near future, we will third the Korean Gala Show.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope so. Are you going to be at FISM next year in Italy? Maybe?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Have you competed?
You too?
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Have you ever competed?
No, not anymore.
You have a great personality.
Yeah.
You are the perfect television personality because you are exciting. You're enthusiastic. You've always got a smile. You speak well to the audience. You engage with them and they love you and they're with you the whole time. I mean, I can't say enough great things about, your show and your personality.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Great MC.
Thank you.
Good job. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having taken a little time here there too.
Okay.
Charming Joy.
Thank you.
This is Scotty out.
Well, we're marking the end of the 51st convention for the Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic. And this morning we had a chance, of course, to talk with Mark D'Souza about kind of recapping what was happening. And so it's appropriate we end this by finishing it up. Hey there, Mark, my buddy.
Hey, Scotty. How you doing?
Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about what's happened here since this morning. I think we talked about Paul Gertner's lecture. We talked also about
the show.
I meant to say show.
Yes. Yeah, so Paul had a phenomenal one-man show.
Yes.
It's the show that he does in Boston at the Omni Parker Hotel. And he wanted to let it run with the script that he normally runs. So right. There were a number of references in there.
To the hotel itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but what a great show. What a phenomenal show. And I could see why it's been running so continuously and well attended in Boston. It's just a really splendid show, whether you're a magician or a layperson. So, yeah. So after that, we had the mini world show.
Yeah,
hosted by
Sean Farquhar
from
Canada.
And Sean does a great job every year. You know,
he's getting better, I think, as an MC, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He doesn't like to think of himself as an MC, but he really is a good one.
No, but it's great timing. He's got phenomenal timing. Yeah. And it's really
a lot of good gags.
Exactly. So anytime you can open a show with Henry Evans, boy, you know that's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
And he just
and that was just the afternoon show, not the evening show.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. So he did some phenomenal card magic, a great double color changing deck routine. It was really super. Followed by Benjamin Barnes from Chicago. Benjamin is like Mr. Chicago Magic Lounge.
And I'm surprised this is his first time here.
Exactly. But I'll tell you, well, it won't be his last.
No, for sure.
You know, he did a beautiful card trick, but boy, it was just Benjamin's personality and his presence on stage that's just so phenomenal. That comes only from working constantly. And boy, he was so good, so
you
entertaining.
Could tell. Yeah, very polished.
Tony Poli from Italy came after that. Tony did some very unusual coin magic. Had a couple of little problems here and there, but boy, overall, some very unique type of
magic. Using a little thread work and some other stuff too.
Yep. Exactly. Followed by Rune Carlson, one of the hits, actually the convention. Rune did a routine that he did on Penn & Teller, and he's done here before, but he's got a new finish for this thing. And it is, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I got to tell you, it's something that happens with three signed coins that vanish from a coin box and appear in an absolutely impossible location. Mm-hmm. And it's just superb. John Michael Hinton, who headed up the backstage crew this year, he came out and did an Angelo Carbone routine that I think is called On Edge.
Really? I've never seen this before.
Yeah, it came out this year, and it's a...
It's a commercial effect?
Yeah, commercial effect, and it's something where
you build a card house.
Exactly. Yeah, build a little card house, but then you begin taking it apart, and it remains erect, and it's like just this impossible balance-looking thing. Very cool routine. John had a little problem at first, and he asked if he could just start over and do it again, which we all applauded his efforts.
That's
and
right.
He did it.
It's a family, and we were all apologetic. He was apologetic about it and said, let me try it again.
Exactly. So, and succeeded. Absolutely the second time. Alfonso Retuerto, who sounds like he's from Italy, but he's a Spaniard who lives in Germany. So, Alfonso, I'll tell you, he's coming to lecture at my house. Monday. He's coming back with me tomorrow. But he has a lecture on sound and magic, and the routine he did is one of the things that he talks about in this lecture. And when I say sound and magic, it has nothing to do with the music you're using or what kind of microphone. It is the use of sound as method.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a routine with some coins and a glass and the most impossible Copenitro type routine you've ever seen, because it's just it's a glass sitting on the table covered by cloth, and he's far away from it, and you hear those coins appear one by one. It's pretty impossible.
And it was sitting on a little spiral notebook, and then as you think, okay, maybe there's something with a notebook, and he just flipped through the book. It's just a regular book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Beautiful routine. Matthew Lamotte from the UK followed him doing a two-cup routine, which is like saying Yasha Heifetz plays the fiddle.
That's a good analogy. Oh, my gosh. I was not expecting this act.
And again, I don't want to tip the ending, but
no,
I will
not
tell you, it is the wildest ending for a Cups and Balls routine you've ever seen.
Yeah,
you're not going to see this anywhere else but from him. This is thoroughly original.
Sean Farquhar has a great cup and ball routine. Some of you have seen.
Yep.
And I'll only say it's kind of like that, but it takes it to a whole different level.
Oh, yeah.
For those who know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And phenomenal, phenomenal routine. And so beautifully performed.
I think he's won some awards for that, the Magic Circle and over in England.
He won the Magic Circle close-up competition three times. The only person to ever do it.
Yeah.
And the finish at the last circle competition he did was similar to what he did here.
Mm.
I'll tell you off mic, but it's very cool.
Good stuff.
And the show was finished by Josep Vidal from Spain, another FISM award winner. And again, beautiful card magic and a lovely finish to the show.
Good stuff. That's true.
So then we had our Ed Talks, which is the magic version of TED Talks, named after Eddie Fechter. And Christian and Catalina run that every year and choose the performers, the lectures. Yeah, presenters. And so these are, 10, 12, 15 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah.
So let off with Steve Freeberg talking about ad-libbing and using Groucho Marx as his model. And he is a real Marx aficionado and does a pretty decent Groucho impression. Followed by Brian Curry, my nemesis, and talking about creating character. And he had a wonderful PowerPoint presentation. Tore the hell out of me. This is just something we do. And it was a great talk.
It was a good way of looking at your character and developing that also from the standpoint of having people look at you and have the audience to check off these different things. What do you think this person is? Is he kind? Is he comfortable? You know, is he outgoing? I mean, without you saying another word or whatever. That was just a very tip of the iceberg with this whole thing. He had a very good way of trying
and then talking about how to take those characteristics and use them to your advantage. To create a better character for yourself. So it's usually
creates some conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole thing, creating conflict, and that creates character.
And the audience will remote more, I think they will
react better. He was followed by Peter McClanican from Scotland talking about his hero.
That was a highlight for me.
Yeah, Roy Walton, and talking about Roy and talking about Tam Shepard's Magic Shop.
I love history, and he started from the beginning all the way to where we are
absolutely
now.
And all the people that Roy influenced, a whole scene in Scotland really came about because of him.
Right.
And some great performers. Finishing off the session was Alexandra Duvivier talking about the wild card, the origins of the wild card, various variations of the wild card, including her father's printing and her own version of Dominique's printing routine. Lovely way to end the session.
Yep.
Very good. We took a little break, had our banquet.
That's
which
right.
Was lovely.
It was included in our ticket. Yep.
Yep. And, then the Saturday night show, the gala show hosted by Steve Beam, the most sarcastic man in magic,
kinder, gentler this year.
Yeah.
No,
not hardly.
Not really.
Not hardly. Yeah. Open with Michael Blumicki, who's from Raleigh, North Carolina, actually very close to Steve. Michael did a most unusual cups and balls routine, using mechanical robot hands to pick up and work with the cups, the balls, the magic wand. Very funny.
It's very funny. And he's the youngest guy here this year.
Yeah.
And he has won several other awards, IBM. I remember judging him at a convention at IBM, and he's really good. He just recently graduated from college. I think he's 24.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's 24. He's working in the IT business.
Yeah, but he's going to be, he'll be competing at FISM NA this summer in Texas.
Completely different act.
Yeah, very, very unusual. Followed by the painters, Christian and Catalina, doing some fun mentalism with cards and
two-person mind reading.
Yeah. It's very enjoyable. Bernardo Sedlacek from Brazil, who is just an absolute miracle worker. And
we were at dinner the other night. We've talked about this already. The trick that he had done and has fried us, and you were doing it again.
I did it again.
Were you fried again?
Yes, but I, seeing it a second time and understanding what I was going to see and knowing the procedure, I think I might have it.
Okay.
So I can
still
rest.
A great trick.
I can rest better. that triumph he did the other night still has me very, very disturbed. but Bernardo had just a whole crowd of people around him.
Yes.
He invited people to come up from the audience just to stand around him.
People.
Yeah, and he did three routines, and they were all great. They were all great. Impossible card magic. Brian Curry followed him, took the opportunity to insult me some more. Along with some other people. Mentalism, in the guise of graphology, doing a pseudo-psychometry type routine.
Right.
But his lines are great. And I mean it's obvious.
Well scripted.
This is a routine that's right out of his show, which is called The Good Liar down in Washington, D.C., that he does for Muggles. And very entertaining.
Very
clever. Helga Thun from Germany, my favorite flicking finger. Helga is a masterful entertainer. And, I mean, you don't know it. I mean, the people here don't know it, but very versatile. I was working at a convention in Berlin once, and they had the competition, the runoff for FISM there before they went into the, you know, the regionals.
Right.
It was the individual clubs. They had competitions in 11 categories, and Helga won 10 of them.
Wow.
And we're talking everything from close-up to parlor to mentalism to manipulation to, you know, a music act to stage. I mean, the guy is just so amazingly versatile. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Horat Wu from Taiwan doing one of his competition acts. Color changes of cards with an interesting theme. Beautifully performed. And just super fun.
He ended up with this key, this giant key, but he also had smoke that was in the shape of a key. I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool stuff. Eric DeCamps followed with his version of
thimbles.
Kind of starts off with the Ramsey's thimble, goes into the Rossini thimbles with a production of 10 at the end. And then he does his handling of the rope routine, which has, you know, pieces of George Sands. Yep. Tabbery, Professor's Nightmare. I mean, it's a beautifully constructed routine.
Yeah.
And then they made the surprise announcement that Eric is next year's guest of honor. So
well deserved.
Absolutely, absolutely. Show was finished by the discount Steve Bargatze and discount Rick Merrill.
Who usually close the act.
Exactly. They usually close the convention. Couldn't this year because as Steve Beam said, a severe case of nepotism. Steve Bargatze's son, Nate Bargatze, is one of the top comedians touring today in the United States, and they play stadiums.
And Steve opens for him.
Yeah. So tonight he's in Houston, right, opening for yeah, Nate. So they start out doing their imitations of Steve and Rick, and then broke the imitations, and just they spent the time really just insulting people and talking about things that happened in the court during the convention that were
very topical,
really funny, yeah, topical stuff. Great PowerPoint presentation stuff with it was just funny as can be, and involving other people in their gags. So that was it. That was the end, except for the shouting, as they say. We're off to the hospitality room to get coffee and donuts. And
maybe
a little scotch a little later on. Maybe a little. They ran out of limoncello in the Italian suite. But today I did run out because the second beverage of choice is Fireball. So I procured a rather large bottle of that. So I'm going to the car now to get that so we can take that up to the room and hopefully have a little farewell nightcap.
So all in all, a very satisfactory convention. In fact, that Eric was talking about this being one of the best that he has attended in many years. It was great in so many different ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I hope that you guys who are listening and gals who are listening to this have gotten that feeling then also. Which, by the way, as mentioned, gals, there were 8 women here.
Absolutely.
Which they said, I think, is probably the most that we've
tied.
Had.
Yeah, they tied for the most number of women.
So I'm hoping we have more who are going to be trying to register and get in for next year in the future.
Yep. I mean, look, we have so many more great women magicians these days, and hopefully we can encourage more of them to come to this conference.
Right. Eventually they will stop saying women magicians or female magicians. They'll just be magicians, which they are.
Correct.
Correct. They're all welcome. And correct. So we'll hopefully see more. So, Mark, thanks again for your color.
Scotty, thank you. And always a pleasure.
Always
and now too. We can go have
go relax. And I'll upload this and for the next hour or so. And then join everybody.
Great.
Okay, thanks again. So is Mark D'Souza. And I think that's going to be a wrap from Buffalo and the Millennium Hotel. What was that he called us? The Mediocre Hotel.
Yeah. The M.
Here in the Buffalo. Mediocre. So that was Mark D'Souza and Scotty L. Till next year.